Good morning, TNC family, on this third Sunday in January, where today here, we're in a five-part series called 2025 Year of Courage, rooted in the scriptures in the counsel of King David to his son Solomon, who's about to embark on a consequential, historic, and challenging year. And David's counsel is 1 Chronicles 28, be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God is with you, which I believe is exactly the right counsel for us this year, and is why we are talking for 5 weeks about five strong and courageous choices. Week one was about the courage to be truly biblically curious. Last week, we talked about the courage to discipline your senses, which leads us to today. And a third choice that will require great courage from you and me this year, it flows from the first two. It flows from, okay, I'm curious. Okay, I'm disciplining my senses. Now what? Well, now become a disciple of experience. That's the third choice, to become a disciple of experience. The late, great USC professor, Dallas Willard, who is a renowned philosopher, best-selling author, a devoted follower of Jesus, was asked once after a lecture, what needs to be true in my life in order for me to honestly say, I know Christ? His answer, and I'm going to paraphrase a little, but be 100% true to what he said, knowing Christ is not primarily about saying creeds and believing doctrines and knowing what happens after you die or how old the earth is or what's the correct theological position to take on a political or social issue. Knowing Christ is, he said, simply putting his words into practice and finding them to be true. Said another way, it's becoming a disciple of experience. Or in the words of Mark Twain, a man who carries a cat by the tail learns something he can learn in no other way. Or in the words of Olympic superstar Simone Biles, when asked about her height, 4'8", and her skill, quote, I was built this way for a reason, and so I'm going to actually use it. Or in the famous words of Teddy Roosevelt, get in the arena, become a disciple of experience. And of course, if you think of the best teachers you've ever had and ask what makes a teacher great, you'll probably see that more than anything else, it's the ability to help the student learn for herself, for himself. This is why Mr. Ratzlaff was probably my best teacher in high school. I took geometry, calculus, and computer science from him, and sometimes after a lecture, we'd have 20 or 30 minutes to work on the assignment in class, and so I would raise my hand sometimes and he would come to my desk, and I promise you this would happen depending on my question. He would either answer it or he would simply hear my question and then walk away, after which I learned from others that this was his MO. If he didn't think we'd worked hard enough on our own, he'd refuse to answer, which would force me to wrestle with the material myself and to experience the struggle on my own, after which often I came to know the material in a way I otherwise never would have, because experience is almost always the best teacher. And actually, when it comes to the Bible or to believing in the teachings of Jesus, this is exactly true too. In fact, the task of a disciple of Jesus is not to try to form correct beliefs. Rather, it is to seek experiences that, by the way, will make your beliefs self-evident. To seek experiences, pray, forgive, become financially generous and faithful in that generosity, to go the extra mile, turn the other cheek, love your enemies, do good to those who hurt you, and on, and in the process, become a disciple of your experience. This is something Simon does in Luke chapter 5, where the text says that one day, as Jesus was standing by the Sea of Galilee, people began to crowd around him, listening to him as he taught the word of God. Verse 2, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. Jesus got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and ask him to push out a little from the shore. Then Jesus sat down and taught the people from the boat. verse 4, when he had finished speaking, Jesus, the former carpenter turned teacher, Jesus said to Simon, professional fisherman, "Now take your boat back out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Teacher, I'm a fisherman, and I've worked my craft hard all night. I haven't caught anything." Verse 5, "But because you say so, I will let down the nets." And what's going on here is Simon is doing something that goes against his natural impulses, the way he's always thought and done fishing, his preconditioned natural tendencies. Verse 6, "And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink." And now, TNC, imagine Simon after all of this. His confidence, his trust, his hopes for the future, all rooted in the courage to move from being a disciple of information to being a disciple of experience. Or, as the Apostle Paul would write in his New Testament letter to Rome, chapter 2, "It is not the hearers of the law who have right living before God, but it is the doers who will be declared righteous." Or in the words of Martin Luther King Jr., whose life and legacy we celebrate this weekend, quote, "We must learn that to expect God to do everything while we do nothing is not faith, but superstition." And so our third choice of courage this year, TNC, is to put God's words into practice, become a disciple of experience. Now, to be a disciple of experience means not just that I blindly do it. Instead, it means that I do it, and then I pay attention to the experience, and I evaluate it. In the words of the Apostle Paul again, this time 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, "Test everything, and then keep what is good." This is why if you're watching college football these days, you might see 18 computer tablets being used on the sidelines during the game. Coaches and players watching game film from the sidelines, evaluating mid-game the experience they just had on the field a few plays earlier. In the NFL, by the way, they're allowed 25 tablets on each sideline. Because it's not just, am I on the field? It's also, am I evaluating my experience as I go so I can make corrections along the way? Jim Collins, the Stanford MBA researcher, author, speaker, in his phenomenal book, Great by Choice, has a chapter called Fire Bullets, Then Cannonballs, where he writes, imagine you're on a ship in the 19th century. And you have another ship bearing down on you, and you only have a certain amount of gunpowder. So you take all the gunpowder and put it in a big cannonball, and you fire at the ship, and it misses. And then you turn for more, but discover you are out of gunpowder. Or, he writes, you could take a little bit of gunpowder and put it in a single shot, fire it out there in sort of a bullet, and discover, hey, it's 30 to 40 degrees off target. So you recalibrate and fire another bullet, 25 degrees off target. Recalibrate, fire another, 20, 10, 5 degrees. Ping! It's actually hitting the side of the ship, he writes, and now I have a calibrated line of sight, and I can take all the rest of my gunpowder and pack it into a cannonball and fire along that calibrated line of sight, and boom! He goes on to say that we do not fire enough bullets in life, but that it is the secret to greatness. Great businesses, great relationships, great anything. Try stuff, keep what works. So, TNC, what new are you trying in 2025? And specifically, something that flows directly from the wisdom and the counsel of the scriptures. Like, have you said, hey, I'm going to try forgiveness, and then evaluate it. I'm going to try generosity and evaluate it. I'm going to try faithfulness and evaluate. Because our tendency is to pray or want something new. I want 2025 to be great, but then to do nothing new. And then get frustrated when nothing changes. God, why don't I feel more blessed? The call of courage is to put a word of God into practice this year and then evaluate it, test it, and hold fast to what is good. And then, finally, the final part of becoming a disciple of experience is to do it more than one time, to keep recalibrating and keep firing. Like, don't go home, eat spinach, go on a walk, get in bed at 10 p.m., wake up, look in the mirror, or step on a scale and go, well, that didn't work. And don't be nice to your spouse for one night and expect to see real results in your marriage. It's going to take time. And don't show up for work on time one time and take that extra shift one time and then expect to be the first in line for the next promotion. I'm saying if you're looking for quick results, you'll likely be disappointed. It will take time. There's a book I'm reading now by Ross Edgley. It's called The Art of Resilience. Edgley is an endurance athlete and a speaker born in 1985. I heard about him because he just broke the world record for the world's longest nonstop river swim, in which he was in the water on the Yukon River in Canada for over 2 days with no sleep, no stopping, no touching land. And when he got permission from Canadian authorities to do this, their permission came with this advice: please avoid the deadly whitewater rapids and watch out for bears and wolves. But he literally was in the water for 54 hours, and he set the record for the longest nonstop river swim, swam 317 miles nonstop. Prior to this, he famously ran a marathon pulling a 3,000-pound car behind him. And before that, he lived for months with the Yamabushi Mountain warrior monks in Japan, and he practiced the shamanic pain rituals with fire ants in the Amazon jungle, and he swam over 62 miles across the Caribbean Sea, pulling a 100-pound tree behind him, and he swam around the island of Great Britain, 1,780 miles, swimming every day for 157 days, 105 mile per hour winds, hundreds of jellyfish stings. All of this sounds a bit crazy to me, but his book is a fun read because in the process of all of this, he studies the science of resilience. And he's got great chapter titles like Make Your Body an Instrument, Not an Ornament. And Fast can be fragile, slow can be strong. Sleep yourself stronger. You're stronger when you're smiling. Control the controllables. And he has what he calls 10 rules of resilience, including this rule: resilience can't be rushed. A section all about how life's greatest secret is to just keep going. Because victory in life, he says, rarely comes early. It almost always will take time. Reminds me of how one night, some time ago, I was on my phone, lying in bed, couldn't sleep, and so I typed in a Google search, greatest athletes of all time. And an article from ESPN popped up called The 20 Greatest Athletes of All Time, along with a list, and I read the list and noticed that one of the athletes was Secretariat the Horse. So I Googled Secretariat, the greatest racehorse of all time, the Triple Crown winner, who also has the fastest Kentucky Derby time in all of history. And then I watched the 1973 Kentucky Derby race on YouTube. By the way, the race is 10 furlongs. A furlong is 1/8 of a mile. And I'm watching the race as Shecky Green, another horse, takes the early lead and actually leads for the majority of the first 7 furlongs. At the second furlong, Secretariat was in 11th place. At the halfway point, Secretariat is in 6th place. 2/3 of the way through, Secretariat is in 4th place. And now I'm lying there starting to get a little nervous. As the horses enter the home stretch, Secretariat then moves into 3rd and 2nd, and now they're in the final furlong, and it's only in the final 1/8 of a mile that Secretariat takes the lead and wins by 2/5 of a second. The race isn't won only at the beginning. It's won through resilience, furlong after furlong after furlong. This is why Paul tells Timothy in his letter, chapter 2, endure. Endure like the hardworking farmer who plants seed and then is faithful to tend it all the way until harvest time. Time is not the enemy, Paul says. It's the secret ingredient. And disciples of experience have to come to know this. that courage in 2025 will require January courage, but also February courage and March, April, May, November, December courage. And I imagine Simon in Luke 5, after an entire night of fruitless fishing, finally back from being out on the water all night, standing on the shore, washing his nets. And then Jesus says, go back out. I imagine Simon wasn't sure it would be worth it to go back out on the water when his financial, emotional, and physical reserves were on empty. Maybe another day I'll submit my finances, emotions, time, body. Maybe another day. But Simon puts the words of Jesus into practice, goes back out on the deep. He becomes a disciple of experience. And I believe Simon would say to you and me today, TNC, there is no greater experience than the experience of putting the words and wisdom of Christ into daily practice. That's where you should place your hope. Because there's some people who put their hope in a political cause, a new administration, but that's an all-night fishing trip where you'll come up empty. And some folks make controlling other people their cause. And that's an all-night fruitless fishing trip too, because people will disappoint and not live up to your expectations. And some folks make retirement or entertainment their cause. But I promise you, that's an all-night failed fishing trip. There's only one experience that can fill you with the deepest joy and resilience-producing purpose. And that's the experience of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the question is, will you orient your life, will I orient mine, around this eternally worthwhile experience? And will you today take one step deeper, find out what Jesus says about at least one thing, and put it into practice and find it to be true? Because that's a courageous choice we are all called to make this year. And now I pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, turn his face toward you, and as you push out into deeper waters with God, that he would give you peace. Amen.